Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're continuing Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, chapter 20, text 25 and 26. Evam vanam tad varsheshtam pakvakarjura jambumat go gopailar vito rantam sabala pravisadarhi. Translation. When the Vrindavan forest had thus become resplendent, filled with ripe dates and jamba fruits, Lord Krishna, surrounded by his cows and cowherd boyfriends and accompanied by Sri Balarama, entered that forest to enjoy. Text 26. Dinavo mandagaminya. Udho barena buyasa yayur bhagavata huta drutam pityas snutas tanaha tenavo mandagaminya udho barena buyasa yayur bhagavata huta drutam pitya snutastanaha. Dinavaha, the cows. Mandagaminyaha, moving slowly. Udhaha, of their udders. Bharena, because of the weight. Buyasa, very great. Yayuhu, they went. Bhagavata, by the Lord. Ahutaha, being called. Drutam, quickly. Pritya, out of affection. Snuta, wet. Stanaha, their udders. Translation. The cows had to move slowly because of their weighty milk bags, but they quickly ran to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as soon as he called them, their affection for him causing their udders to become wet. You can repeat. The cows had to move slowly because of their weighty milk bags. But they quickly ran to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as soon as he called them. Their affection for him causing their udders to become wet. As Prabhu mentioned yesterday, Srila Prabhupada covered this chapter, so the purport, Srila Prabhupada comments, the cows, being fed by new grasses, became very healthy, and their milk bags were all very full. When Lord Krishna called them by name, they immediately came to him out of affection. And in their joyful condition, the milk flowed from their bags. Omagina timarandasya kinandina salakaya chakshu unmilitam jena tasmai sri gurave namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Svaya Rupa Kadamayam Tatati Sva Patantikam Panchakopa Tirubhischa Kripa Sandubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hari Hari Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. My godbrother told me to give you the sauce. You all know what the sauce? Yeah. We would say Prabhupada, you know, he had the sweet sauce and then there was the hot sauce. So there's different kinds of sauce. This, of course, is a very wonderful description here. To say the rainy season, we can only hope for the rainy season here in Vrindavan. This is my third summer in a row here, and by far, this is definitely a summer to remember. And we're all very excited for this rainy season. I had a good fortune the other week to visit the West Coast, Mumbai, went to Juhu, Govardhan Eco Village, Vrindavan. Prabhupada always wanted a new Vrindavan, and I always imagined it was going to be in the USA, somehow or other, by Radhanath Maharaj, who of course was there in New Vrindavan from practically the beginning. He's created a very wonderful place. For the first time since being here in Vrindavan, I went to the seven temples in Govardhan Eco Village. It was very simple to go there, to the different temples. And of course, Madan Mohan Temple, so beautiful. And like here, they have big Goshala. Of course, there the rain has already started. So everything we're reading about here, you can actually see it going on. The cows, you know, until the rainy season hits, what are they eating? Straw. Somehow or other, Krishna has arranged, they're very happy eating that straw. For the first time, I was come under the understanding, cows don't have upper teeth. I never knew that. Just, there's always something you can learn. They have a lot of teeth on the bottom for their chewing, but no upper teeth. Even you put your hand in there, they can't hurt you, the cows. So we stopped and saw them as well. But this rainy season, most important season. Without the rains, none of us could survive, huh? Without these rains. And sometimes the rains come other than the rainy season. I'm going to go back 50 years. 50 years, of course it was coming up in a few months. It was just after Kartik. Prabhupada spent the entire Kartik at Radha Damodar Temple, October 15th to about November 5th, 14th, whatever it was, November 15th. And then immediately from here, Prabhupada went to Hyderabad. Of course, this was my very first trip. I had just joined Prabhupada in September. So then after traveling in the U.S., we came right to Vrindavan. And then from Vrindavan, where Prabhupada did classes morning and evening, of course, Bhakti Rasamrita classes every evening, he went to Hyderabad. And all the devotees came. Most everyone that was in India, Prabhupada's disciples, they came to Hyderabad. Otherwise, who would he have with him? So everyone, they came from Calcutta, they came from Mayapur, they came from here in Vrindavan, they came from Delhi. So again, there's 40 or 50 devotees that arrived in Hyderabad. Hyderabad didn't have any rain that rainy season. No rain. So they're very, very parched. And they received Prabhupada so nicely there. And very, very wonderful. We stayed at this gentleman's house, Panilal Pitti. Big, huge, palatial home he had. Big garden area in the back, many garages filled with cars. And they received Prabhupada in one of those cars. For me, it was amazing because this car was an American car. Mr. Pitti had an American car. Not only was it an American car, this was 1972. So this car was a 1958 Chevrolet Impala. That doesn't mean anything to most of you people. To me, growing up in America, you knew every car. Huh? Every car. Like here, you knew every deity. There, we knew every car. They were our deities growing up. I told you, when somebody in the neighborhood would get a new car, we would circumambulate the car. It's beautiful. Smelled. They make that scent. It's called new car smell. So this was our worship, these cars. So now I'm with Prabhupada. We arrived there in Hyderabad. Mr. Pitti provides the car. 1958 Chevrolet Impala convertible. That car alone now would be worth $100,000 or more, that car. It's so special. I have on my phone, there's a picture of Prabhupada in the back seat of that car on parade. And I'm sitting next to him. I'm completely bewildered. I've never seen anything like this. The streets lined. It was like a Rathiatra festival. Prabhupada, huh? A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada had come to Hyderabad and they received him very wonderfully. The car was covered flower garlands. On the streets, you can see in the photo, you see a dozen different policemen just there. The politicians were there. All the big businessmen were there. Anyone that was important attended that. And then, of course, Prabhupada stayed at Mr. Pitti's house. Before he started giving classes, one gentleman came to see him. A Brahmin. He was a caste Brahmin, born Brahmin. And he argued with Prabhupada for a long time, saying so many things, how qualification. He said, how can you turn these maleches, these meat eaters, these Westerners, you have no right to turn them into Brahmins, to give them a danda, turn them into sannyasis. Prabhupada, you didn't disagree with anything Prabhupada did, especially this point. This was the whole point in Prabhupada leaving India to go to the West, was to fulfill the order of all the previous acharyas, to fulfill the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he spoke that, Chaturvarnam Maya Shrestam Guna Karma Vibhagisha. It's by qualification. Prabhupada spoke every day for over a week. And he hammered them and hammered these people. Most of them, of course, were very receptive. But there was those Brahmins. They wanted to keep everything under control. And we see this to this day in different areas. It has to be by birth. Even now in England, they've celebrated the Queen. You all know the Queen. Her 70th year in power. But so many people are thinking, what is this? Who is she? Why do we have this queen? Why do we have all these buildings? She's the largest landowner in the world. The Queen of England. Why? By birth? She came there by birth. Anyway, German ancestry. She's Queen of England. So this man was arguing with Prabhupada. And of course, Prabhupada had no difficulty defeating. But who listens, huh? This is the thing, who listens? But it set the tone for the next week. Every day, every evening, Prabhupada would speak Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, different scriptures, saying the qualification of these 40, 50 people that were traveling with him. And when Prabhupada arrived at the Pandal, the first day, he's sitting on his Vyasasan and he looks and he sees Radha Madhava are there on the altar, and they had a murti of Lord Chaitanya. Bhavananda Prabhu, he brought Radha Madhava, the not big Radha Madhava with eight sakis. No, they're small. They're not so small. Heavy. He brought them, Radha Madhava, to the pandal, because he thought, this was us in 1972. This is one of Prabhupada's big leaders. And he brings Radha Madhava, takes him off the altar in Mayapur, and brings him to Hyderabad. The Prabhupada looks, sees him, he said, is that Radha Madhava? Yes, Prabhupada, we brought them from Mayapur to attend the program. He said, anyway, they're here. That meant you made a very big mistake. Anyway, they're here. He said, it's already done. He said, but when they go back to Mayapur, he said, they never, ever leave Mayapur again. Prabhupada instructed. It's one of the things I was thinking about. Prabhupada's tolerance. He was very tolerant. I said, we can't mistake Prabhupada's tolerance for acceptance, for agreement. I saw Srila Prabhupada over and over again, and I can see to this day, well, we did this in front of Prabhupada. We danced like this in front of Prabhupada. We chanted like this in front of Prabhupada. He allowed it. Yes, he allowed it. Not necessarily did he want it, did he approve it. But after saying something one time, two times, I always say three times, then he would just say, these Westerners, a lot of passion, guna karma, lots of passion, mode of goodness, Brahman, he said, the Kshatriya, passion, Vaishya, passion and ignorance, Sudra, ignorance, but by qualifications. Prabhupada, without any qualification, he gave his disciples qualifications. He actually gave it. I see that different devotees, give me your blessing, give me your mercy. I can't give anything. You know, they say, touch my head, your hands, touch Prabhupada. But Prabhupada can actually give. Huh? We call that So all of us, inspired by Srila Prabhupada, wonderful festival, wonderful parade. Everyone loved. In the morning, 2,000, 3,000 people would come to class. In the evening, 10,000, 15,000 people were coming to hear Srila Prabhupada. And this is what he was saying. Vedic culture is here. You just need the proper speaker to keep everyone on the proper path. But he tolerated. He saw, Radha Madhava, they're here. What am I going to... Not the time to make a fuss. So we should understand Prabhupada's desires. We have to understand what Prabhupada wanted. Just because he allowed something didn't mean that was the rules. He bent many rules for us to keep us inspired so that gradually we could elevate ourselves to what he had already given us. Like he said, initiation, he said, isn't the point of perfection. It's the very beginning stages in Krishna consciousness. Not that you're perfect, but from that very time, if you understand Prabhupada's instructions, you follow them, then everything is perfect. And you're also perfect, like he said, the green mango. Prajumna, Shyamasundar wrote me the other day. You know, his third volume came out. The third volume is right when I became Prabhupada's servant. That's in there in the third volume. So reading all of these wonderful, wonderful pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, it helps me remember. But At that time, now I'm traveling with Prabhupada, and my two older brothers, Shyamasundar and Prajumna. Shyamasundar, they're both 80 years old. I'm now 70. So I went from living in a household with a mother and two older sisters, and by Krishna's mercy, now I'm with my father. I never had a father growing up. He died. But now I have my father and two older brothers guiding me. That was a very fortunate situation. Shyamasundar said about Prajumna, those of you who might know Prajumna or know about him, he was with Prabhupada more than anyone in Prabhupada's personal association. From then, from 1971 until Prabhupada left, he was sometimes coming going, but he was always there, practically always there as his translator, doing the word for word with Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada would call him in, he would go in, ask Prabhupada questions. Immediately Prabhupada would give the response, proper wording, proper translation. Did this all for years. For many decades now, for over 20 years, Prajumna has been based in New York City. He lives in the Bhakti Center in New York. And he's worked for the United Nations. They have a branch. It's Religions for Peace. So him, and he knows many languages. So he's been traveling around the world for years and years, meeting cardinals, the Catholic Church, meeting the Dalai Lama, meeting all these big religionists all over the world. And Shyamasundar saw him, he said, "Have you met anyone like Prabhupada?" He laughed. "There's no one. There's no one like Srila Prabhupada. No one could do what Srila Prabhupada could do. No one had the vision, had the understanding. Everyone taking birth in this material world, we're going to make him a devotee." That was Prabhupada's mission. He wouldn't be satisfied till everyone in the world chanting Hare Krishna. There in Hyderabad, he had very, very good reception. Tens of thousands, over 10,000 every evening would come in the very center of town. That place was given by Mr. Reddy. He had a sweet shop back then, and he donated a plot of land, some 1,000 square meters or so of land, where the temple is now. Prabhupada spoke for some days. It hadn't rained. The whole rainy season dry. After 3-4 days, it started raining. Prabhupada said, "It's because of this kirtan." He said in different places also, "We don't chant for anything material, not even rain." And we didn't. We were chanting because Prabhupada had us chanting. We had no other motive other than Prabhupada's chanting, we're chanting. But the rain started coming. And it came for days. Even in the newspapers, they said, "Hare Krishna has brought rain." And they did. Prabhupada brought rain to this place. I'll be going, they're having their 46th anniversary this year of the deity installation. For me, it's going to be the 50th anniversary of when I was in Hyderabad 50 years ago. I've never been there since. And I'm looking forward to going to this place, perhaps seeing some of the grandchildren of the people that I met at that time. But as I said, acceptance didn't mean Prabhupada approved. But he knew he was dealing with youngsters in Krishna consciousness. He always tried to encourage us. I told you when I first became his servant, one of the people there in Hyderabad, Prabhupada had them, I've mentioned before, Siddha Swarup Goswami, and this one other sannyasi. Prabhupada had made him sannyasi as well. He was a very stocky, strong man. He had a tattoo. I never saw a devotee with a tattoo before this time. Now, it's hard to find a devotee without a tattoo, you know. Hidden here, down here. Tattoos are... But in this day, the only people that were known when we grew up, if you had a tattoo, you were basically in the military. And you were probably like a drunken sailor. You know, and when you would go to port, you'd get tattoos. Because you had money, nothing to do with money. You get tattoos. He had a tattoo on his arm. Sudama Vipra Maharaj, that was his name. Sudama, I remember him very clearly. I always stayed not so close. Skull and crossbones, you know, X with the bones and the skull. That was his tattoo. Prabhupada made this person devotee, made him a Brahmin, gave him sannyas. This man was complaining. How can you give it to these people? Prabhupada told us himself. None of you were qualified, he said, to be sannyas. He said, you're not even sannyas. Use this quote. He said, but in when there isn't person there, when the sergeant isn't there, the colonel, corporal isn't there, every fifth man you make. And Prabhupada did that. When I was in the manor, another one Indian man complaining. Yeah, same thing. Indians. They're not Indians. What's your business making them into devotees? Huh? Prabhupada made us Westerners into devotees so we could make you devotees. That's why he did it. Because Indians followed everything very nicely. Tried to follow what was going on in America. We knew who we were. Dancing white elephants. Some of us were just little elephants. Some were big, big. But we're all dancing in white, and people flocked to see us. 50 years ago, I would walk on the beach with Srila Prabhupada, Juhu Beach, Prabhupada's favorite beach, nice and flat, solid sand. You could walk literally for miles with Srila Prabhupada. Huh? And at that time, there would be many Indians on the beach in the morning. Morning walk was everyone. Any proper Indian would do morning walk. Some of them you would see doing yoga, you know, some. But they're doing something. But when Prabhupada would walk on the beach in Juhu, they would look at us. They were wearing kurta. All the men wore kurta, their little white pants, you know, every woman in a sari. But they would look at us because we had on dhoti, kurta, women in sari, tilak, shaved. So they looked at us because we were odd. But these white people looking like Indians. What do they say now? You're not allowed to, what is it? Cultural appropriation. Yeah, this things are so messed up in the world. If you do something that belongs to some other culture, you're condemned for it. Huh? You put your hair in cornrows, you know, like Africans, but you're not black. You're not allowed to do that. So they looked at us in this curious way, wearing dhoti and kurta. I was there last week, walking on the beach with some devotees. And again they're looking at me, 50 years later. But it completely turned around. Now they're looking at me not because I'm white. Many white people walking on the beach. Many people walking on the beach in bathing suits, jeans, t-shirts, girls in shorts. Now they're looking at me only because I'm wearing a dhoti and a kurta. This is how degraded things have become in the West. The curiosity is just because I'm a devotee. What's a devotee? Who are these people? In India now they look at us like they used to look at us in America. Devotees, how curious. We're a curiosity. This is what Srila Prabhupada did. So when I was first with him, didn't understand. Krishna consciousness is a very serious process. To become God conscious. No other purpose. Prabhupada brought all of us together for one reason. To become Krishna conscious. Not successful in any other way, materially, education. He said, he always said, whatever education you have, use it in Krishna's service. That was it. Now just educate yourself. Everyone now putting this letter on, Prabhupada put, you know, don't be concerned what goes in this world. Everyone's so concerned now. War is there. Petrol's going up every day, new price every day at the pump. Food shortages. And they guarantee it's going to get worse and worse. Not in years, in the coming months, you're going to see shortages. I think here already, price of atta is going up. Huh? Everything's going up. We're fortunate. Prabhupada gave us this situation. So my first days with him, we were on the way to Vrindavan, and we stopped in Thailand, Bangkok, Thailand. Prabhupada stayed there for some days. He stayed in a hotel. They never liked staying in hotels. Only wanted to stay in his room. However tiny it might be, his room at a temple was first class. Prabhupada was happy. Never staying in some motel, hotel. Oof. But he did. And the very first day I brought breakfast to him. Siddhasvarup Maharaj is there. Sudama Vipra. With his tattoo showing on his arm. He's there. I'm coming in. And Prabhupada looked at me. He said, bring me hot milk. Hot milk was a staple for Srila Prabhupada. Every day. Every morning. Every evening. Didn't matter whether he was at New Vrindavan farm, one of our farms in a city. Milk had to be there. So I didn't bring him milk. We're in a hotel. I have no kitchen access. Nothing. He just looked at me. Bring me hot milk. So I had this little pot from his tiffin. I took the bottom part of the pot. I go down to the kitchen, hotel kitchen. And of course, it's filled with all these Thai people cooking. I don't speak any Thai. They don't speak any English. I'm dressed like this. And I'm saying I need to heat up the milk. And they just looked at me. Kid, this child, I need milk. In me, I was not a very aggressive person. So after trying, and they wouldn't let me in the kitchen, I went back up to Prabhupada's face. Prabhupada, I said, I can't heat up the milk. Sudama Vipra grabbed the pot. I'll get your milk, Prabhupada. That's what Prabhupada's warriors. Prabhupada had warriors. I was a desk person, you know, I would be maybe like that. I wasn't a warrior. I'll get your hot milk. I thought, oh. About 4 minutes later, he comes back in, a cup of hot milk. Here, Prabhupada. He looked at Prabhupada. He said, sometimes you have to yell. Prabhupada smiled. Then he looked at me. He said, Shruta Kirti is not serious. You don't want to hear that from your spiritual master, that you're not serious. I thought I completely blew it, you know. But I thought, not serious. This is Krishna consciousness. Our business is to be serious about what we're doing. Not wishy-washy. Yeah. Prabhupada tolerated us. Didn't mean he approved everything we did. Some weeks ago, one devotee wrote something on social media. Vrindavan doesn't judge. And he wrote all kinds of things afterwards showing how nice, like this, however you come before Krishna, he accepts us. But that acceptance isn't the same on every level. Vrindavan judges, Krishna judges, And Prabhupada said he has accounting every single thing you do in your life, every moment to moment. There's judgment. What is this, doesn't judge? We're followers of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada had standards for us to follow. And he told us what to do over and over again. But of course, over the years, over the decades, so many things are accepted. Accepted, not approved. And progress will be slow. If you want to make quick progress in Krishna consciousness, understand what Srila Prabhupada wanted in his ISKCON society. I wrote so many things on the phone. But he said back in 1973, it's time to boil the milk. So many devotees are there. Make them fixed up. You know, he said there's two things. You either boil the milk or you water it down. Prabhupada didn't want to see things watered down by his disciples. That was one of his big anxieties, his Western disciples. Because we always think we can improve things. Always can improve everything. Always say, you know. But there's one thing, you know, there's price, time, and what is it? Equality. You can never have all three things at the same time. You know, that's a law. That's a law in business. You can get something fast and price, but then you're not going to get quality. If you want something first class, quality, very nice, you can't have all three things. You got to give something up. Prabhupada wanted us to be first class devotees, representing him wherever we went, as we traveled around. He wanted us, his entourage, he liked us to look like him, nice, clean, not wrinkly, not dirty. He would give Brahmin initiation. The devotee held out his hands. He saw dirt in his fingernails. The devotee was living in New Vrindavan. He was working on a farm. We were covered in dirt. But Prabhupada looked at him. He said, your nails are dirty. He said, keep them like mine. I told you before, not long time ago, Prabhupada's nails, it never looked like they grew. I know they did. But he always clipped them, never gave him an opportunity to collect anything in his nails. And even his lotus feet, those toenails, same thing. Everything, first class, everything he did, ever how he presented himself. If he was going to leave his room, tilak. Don't leave without the tilak. Huh? That was there. One thing I'm so happy that Hari Sari figured out. Before that time, you know, Prabhupada had his sikha up there at the crown of his head, which many of us at this age know, not much hair grows on men there at the crown of your head. So you move your sikha down. It was Hari Sari Prabhu that moved Prabhupada's sikha down from the crown where he just had short hairs after it was clipped every month to proper sikha. It was very, very nice. And Prabhupada, how I did it, he accepted it. How Hari Sari did it, he accepted it. Everything he did, he gave instructions of how to do it. When I became his servant, everything he had to show me. After prasadam, clean the table. If I forget once, you're a Brahmin? He expected when he gave us Brahmin initiation that we would live that way. Not just hang a rupee thread across our neck, put keys on it, so you always know where your keys are. No. Prabhupada never had keys hanging on his Brahmin thread that I know, but maybe could have happened. So this is what Prabhupada has given us, huh? So when you think Prabhupada let this happen and Prabhupada let this happen, understand, didn't mean it was the standard that he gave us. And if you want to know the standard, again, read Prabhupada's books. Talk with somebody who understands the standards that Prabhupada gave. Huh? We've spent, Prabhupada's disciples, some of us, we spent our whole lifetime coming to this point. Have another, we welcomed our godbrother, just arrived, came to Vrindavan this time of life. This is what we're doing. He says, come to Vrindavan, retire. It's not a real retirement, but it's a kind of retirement. As Prabhupada retired. While he was there in Hyderabad, one brahmachari came up to Prabhupada. So he's thinking now, he's 20-something years old, he sees his godbrothers getting sannyas. So now in his head he's thinking, should I take sannyas? Should I remain brahmachari? Should I get married? It's very difficult. Young man being around women, it was difficult. Prabhupada had women in his party. He had women cooking, women chanting, dancing, giving classes. He had Jamuna giving classes, Palika giving classes. So Prabhupada gave services to both. But when you're young, it can be difficult. So he went to Prabhupada and finally said to him, Prabhupada, I'm thinking I'll go live in Rishikesh. Up in the hills, go in the mountain somewhere, chant Hare Krishna. I won't be agitated by anything. Just chant. Prabhupada gave him a very unique response. He said, I spent 12 years of my life in Vrindavan, wasting time. He said, use all your time for preaching. Everybody you meet, just tell them about Krishna. Of course, Prabhupada, we know Prabhupada wasn't wasting time in Vrindavan. Everything he did was bringing him to the point of coming and was required. First canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. Every move he made was dictated by Krishna. But he said that to him. Don't misunderstand when Prabhupada says something. He says something to a person. Doesn't mean he's just encouraging. I wasted my time. Imagine. But he's telling him, don't waste your time. Use your time. Everyone you meet, you just tell them about Krishna. There's so many examples. Prabhupada allowed this. Prabhupada allowed that. Didn't mean it's what he wanted. So we all need to know what Srila Prabhupada wanted. If you want to go back home, back to Godhead, this very lifetime, just follow that path. Then you're perfect, pure devotee, just by following those instructions. So we have a few minutes left. I'm supposed to speak this evening, Prabhupada Katha. I think we're from the Lilamrita. We read a little from Lilamrita, then who knows what will happen. Daiva Shakti has been doing it the last 3 weeks, so I'm sorry it won't be her. It's just going to be me. But I'll do my best. I'll tell some stories about Srila Prabhupada. Any questions, anyone? Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, just
something like the
way you have just heard. How do you think?
Who has to say that the Prabhupada approves some things, but if you didn't get to say allow, or allow some people to get approved?
Yeah.
So, what things that you say are like allowed by God is not approved?
Going on to this day, he's allowing so many things to go on. I don't even want to give examples. I don't want to get in trouble. Don't want to offend anyone. Like I say, even the dancing, you know, not just, you didn't just start this wild dancing, you know, that we do now. Prabhupada showed us how he danced. He said, this is how you dance. It was very simple. Huh? We said the Swami step. You can see in San Francisco, you're dancing very, you know, but it was a very... But then he said, when they said it, they say, well, you know, that is their ecstasy. But then you have to make sure it's your ecstasy and not it's just your look at me. And not ecstasy, it's look at me. Kirtans. Prabhupada didn't like this loud, loud music. Okay, I'll say it. Why do we blast speakers during the kirtan? Turn it down. Prabhupada called me in. He said, rakshasas. He didn't say, nice Hare Krishna. He said, it sounds like rakshasas. The deities, they have very good hearing. They're not deaf. Many of us are. I got ringing in my ears from loud kirtans for 50 years next to Prabhupada. Speakers as big as Prabhupada, right next to his Vyasasan, blasting. So many of us, we have ringing in our ears, you know, from that day. He called you. He said, at that time, he didn't even like speakers. Didn't like the microphone. He just chant for the Lord. We say, you know, Krishna, he can eat with his eyes. He can hear with his eyes. He can hear with his ears. Everything. He's right there. He's hearing. But he's looking for your sincerity, the devotion. And that doesn't have to be at 120 decibels. That's what we need. We need a decibel counter. We've got to protect everyone here. We're protected by chanting, but not chanting that destroys the eardrum. So there's one example. And every day we say, my godbrother says, you have to weld the volume button so no one can touch it. We turn it down, they turn it up. We turn it down, they turn it up. Anyway, we'll leave it at there. That's my one, every class we'll figure out one thing. So let's see what happens. From today, okay? We'll see how it goes, these kirtans. Particularly from MVT, I can hear Artik, noon Artik, I can hear from my place at MVT. It's so loud. I better stop here. Like I said, I'll be offending everyone. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna.